Huawei might be on a U.S. trade blacklist, but revenues are still rising. This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The Chinese telecoms giant said today revenue grew by more than 23% in the first half of the year. As the BBC's Karishma Vaswani explains, many people had expected its blacklisted status to hit results.
What these results have shown is that that's not necessarily true. We've seen revenues jump by more than a fifth. Having said that, though, the chairman of the company, Liang Hua, has forecasted that Huawei will face some troubles ahead given this entity list, but it's something that they're trying to handle and trying to cope with.
And how do they mitigate those risks?
Well, one of the things that they've done, quite interestingly, is a refocus on the Chinese market. Now, they were on track to be in the top two smartphone makers in the world. Because of this entity list, they've had to sort of scale back those ambitions. But back in China, they're doing very well when it comes to selling their smartphones. They're now something like 40% of the entire market at a time when other Chinese phone makers are actually seeing declining sales. And one of the reasons for this, actually, is the U.S.-China trade war. A lot of Chinese people are buying Huawei phones because they see it as a nationalistic way to support a company which they see as being unfairly targeted by the United States.
You mentioned the U.S.-China troubles. We've got talks happening this week, in fact.
Yeah, and Huawei is very much at the center of those negotiations. Beijing has categorically said that the issue around Huawei needs to be sorted out before they come to any resolution on trade. And this is a no-go area for Washington. It's very hard to see, given the entity list ban, given the fact that the U.S. is pressuring its allies to stop doing business with Huawei, how any resolution on trade can come unless they find common ground on this issue.
Karishma Vaswani, let's do the numbers. Global shares are holding steady as those trade talks between the U.S. and China restart today and ahead of the Fed's closely watched policy meeting tomorrow. The U.S. Central Bank is widely expected to cut interest rates for the first time since the financial crisis. Now, Britain's currency has dropped more than 4% this month, the worst performance since 2016. In real terms, that means if you're spending £500 on a holiday to Europe, you get about 35 euros or a dinner for two less. Rebecca McVitie, Investment Director at Fidelity International, explains what this means for the UK economy.
I think the challenge here is there's such a lack of clarity around the Brexit situation. And so what the pound is really feeling here is that sense of uncertainty. Many business leaders have voiced quite significant concerns because they don't have guidance from government. And here we are again, moving swiftly towards October with more and more rhetoric from the government, which indicates we may have a no-deal Brexit scenario.
Does Boris Johnson's commitment to leaving even without a deal, does that provide any certainty?
His message has moved in that direction, but no one really knows what a no-deal Brexit will mean for business in practice. We're also operating in an environment where economic growth is slowing. Many central banks are cutting interest rates or indicating they'll cut interest rates to lend support to an economy. So Brexit is one issue in a wider set of problems that we're contending with globally. And so what you've tended to see is people move towards some of these safe havens, and where you have any form of uncertainty or lack of clarity, the currency, as it is in this case, will suffer.
Rebecca McVitie. In Africa, just one in five people has access to the internet. It's the fastest growing mobile data market in the world, yet the cost of data is also amongst the highest in the world. The BBC's Matthew Davies reports.
According to recent research by the UK internet company Cable, in India, the average price of 1 gigabyte of data is 26 US cents. In South Africa, it's above $7, and in Zimbabwe, it can be an eye-watering $75. Alistair Jones from New Street Research says at least part of it is a lack of competition in some markets.
In a place like South Africa, you've got MTN and Vodacom, who are essentially an oligopoly. They don't have much competition. Cell C is really financially constrained. And then you've got Telkom, it's a newcomer that's trying to disrupt the market.
But it's more than competition. The mobile operators argue that much is down to spectrum. These are the radio frequencies that make your cell phone work. In many African countries, a lot of the spectrum of radio frequencies are still being used for things like analog television signals. Freeing up more space on the spectrums, the companies argue, will enable operators to lower data prices. Nicholas Naidu is the Managing Executive for Technology, Strategy, Architecture and Innovation for Vodacom.
If we had additional spectrum, firstly, we have to build a lot less base stations in terms of extending our coverage because the lower frequency bands cover wider areas. But secondly, in densely populated towns and cities, we can also deploy the spectrum on the existing base stations that we've built without having to replicate what we've already invested in.
But what role do African governments and regulators play in this? Danson Njue is with the consultants Ovum in Nairobi.
This is purely the fault of the government, because the government is basically the custodian of allocating frequencies for mobile operations. It's not very easy for these operators to basically expand their services and offer them at a rate where they could guarantee the return on investment.
Most observers say that mobile data prices are coming down and will come down further. Technical equipment gets cheaper, more spectrum bandwidth becomes available, and as consumers use more data, the bundles get more cost efficient. The question is, how long will it take? I'm the BBC's Matthew Davis for Marketplace.
And I'm Anu Anand with Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.